Merry Christmas. How many of you want to say good morning? Merry Christmas. It's just great to see everybody here. This is a day I look forward to every year. As I've often said, Cary is a place where people sometimes visit family, and sometimes people are in town, they come to these services tonight, and I get a chance to catch up over your past year. So it's wonderful to see you here tonight. A few years ago, my wife Mary and I made a decision to buy a horse. It's been my wife's dream to have a horse. She said ever since she was 2 years old. She loved horses. She loves the smell of horses. She loves the smell of the barn. She loves everything about horses and said, if not now, when? So we knew somebody who knew somebody in Southern Pines, and we went down there to see this horse. We went down just to see him. We came back owning him. We said we'd think about it. His name, the owner who sold him to us, named him Master. Interesting name, Master. And the owner said, you know, we bought him about 6 years ago. He was born in 2009. He said, I don't know the exact date he was born. And Mary and I said, that doesn't really matter to us. You know, we just want to have someone to become part of our lives. And this horse just, Mary just fell in love with Master. And it didn't really matter to us. And we brought him home eventually, and he stays at a local barn stable here in Raleigh, McNair. And my wife Mary works, and almost every night she swings through there. She has to groom him, take care of him, smell him, ride him, takes lessons on weekends, and it's a big part of her regular routine. And myself, if I don't have anything going on here at night at St. Paul's, no meetings or appointments or anything, oftentimes I'll head over to the barn too just to hang out. It's just a great place to be and kind of step aside from the day to day. So Mary and I decided that, well, we had to pick a birth date for him. His name is Master. And Mary said, you know, I'm a great fan of the Masters golf tournament. Some of you may know I'm into golf, and I think the Masters is the greatest tournament that exists. And my wife Mary and I have had a great opportunity to go to the Masters a few times. And the Masters is always the second weekend. I think it's the second weekend in April. And so we said, Master, the Masters. We looked back in 2009. When was the last round of the Masters in 2009, the year that he was born? And it was April 12th. So we said, problem solved. His birthday is April 12th. So every year for the last 6 years, as we're watching the Masters on TV, which is like I am just avidly into that, I block out my calendar to make sure I can watch the Masters. We celebrate Master's birthday too, because we chose that date. So you're probably saying, George, where are you going with this? Well, the early church, who had become followers of Jesus Christ, the early church celebrated the resurrection. Christmas was not an early church celebration. It came much later. But the church had to sort of decide when to celebrate that feast. We don't know when Jesus was born. We don't know the date. We probably know around the year. The early church would have probably known more the year, but not the day. So they had to see how to go about, how do we celebrate this? How do we pick a day to celebrate the birth of Christ? At that time, there was an annual celebration of the winter solstice. The Romans celebrated it. Look this up. If you go back in cultures, the winter solstice was a great celebration. It was a celebration of the darkness of the day. It was the shortest day of the year. It was, you know, the least light possible, and it was celebrated. The idea of celebrating that is that as after that day, the light begins to get more and more and more. And I think in the brilliance of the early church, they began to say, well, we believe Christ is the light of the world. And they took that day, which in the calendar of that time, the winter solstice was December 25th, and chose that date to celebrate the birth of Christ, the incarnation. Now, I know the winter solstice was a few days ago, but in that time, that was the day that was on the calendar for the winter solstice. And so 2,000 years later, we celebrate this light of the world on December 25th. There was significance to that date. And as we gather tonight, I think about that idea of light in the darkness. A light that cannot be overcome by the darkness. We're surrounded by a lot of darkness. And I feel as we gather tonight, how can we be a light in that darkness? The darkness cannot overcome the light. It never has, never will. Although it can get pretty gloomy sometimes. The darkness can seem overwhelming. But how do we maintain that sense of being people of the light? We do that here at St. Paul's. We do that among ourselves as a community. Oftentimes over the years, many of us have gone through dark times, difficult times, struggling times, and we reach out to each other. And we're offered whatever it is at the time that we can benefit from, that we can be helped with. And we offer some light in each other's lives. I've seen that over the years. I've both received that light and hopefully been part of folks who've offered some of that light as we go back and forth in our lives. We're also called to go forth into this world to be a light. You know, to look at the darkness in our lives. You know, to be a light in the darkness of racism in our world today. To be a light that moves towards racial equity. To be a light in the darkness of the lives of immigrants and refugees and farm workers. To offer light in the midst of that. To offer light in the challenges of our climate, of the changes that we see. To be good stewards of creation. To care for this creation that we've been given by God. To be a light for their LGBTQ siblings who oftentimes walk in darkness in our world. Can we walk with together and offer that light? Can we offer that light in just areas of social justice, in areas where it's so apparently dark, and offer a light in the darkness? We are those people. And I think as we gather together tonight, it's so interesting. You know, I find interesting, this may be an aside, Easter is always about Sunday, Easter Sunday. But isn't it interesting that we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve? There'll be over 1,000 people here tonight gathered together on our three services. And isn't it interesting we gather in the darkness? There's something about Christmas and Christmas Eve. We're drawn to step into the darkness and look at the light and have that light in our lives, to go forth to be a light. There's something unconscious about that. Tomorrow's service will not be as much attended as tonight, and I think that tells us something about some of the significance of this celebration, of this feast of Christmas, that we really are people who want to search for the light in the midst of the darkness. And that's something to be hopeful for, that's something to be joyful about, that's something to live into, that's something that we can do to offer this world hope, to offer that light. And so as we gather together tonight, may we be people of the light, people who go forth into this world, and also offer that to each other, and not miss it in each other's lives as we care for each other. But let us live into this light, live into this feast, live into this celebration. Merry Christmas.